You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
Last week, the Reserve Bank of India released its annual report for the fiscal year 2017-2018. The report contained forecasts about the current financial year, updates on demonetization, and the state of the central bank's finances. It also addressed issues like asset quality in the banking system, the value of the Indian rupee, and other macros with regard to India's economy. Let's dig deeper into RBI's annual report for 2017-2018. My name is Rakesh. You're listening to Money Control,
the Deep Dive podcast series. All you need to know about RBI's annual report for 2017-18.
Let's look at the main points that the central bank addressed. First off, demonetization. The RBI said that nearly 99.3% of the old 500 rupee and 1000 rupee notes that were in circulation as on the 8th of November 2016 have returned to the banking system. In all, 15.31 lakh crores have been returned, a small rise over the interim number of 15.2 lakh crore rupees that the Reserve Bank revealed in last year's report. That means old notes worth approximately 10,000 crore rupees have not been returned. That statistic could indicate that tax evaders might have managed to legalize their ill-gotten gains or black money. But the jury is still out. Investigations are still underway into several large deposits, and these probes are likely to meet resistance in the form of litigation. Speaking about the new currency notes, the report mentions that they too are susceptible to counterfeiting. There was a jump in the number of counterfeit notes detected for the new 50, 500 and 2000 rupee notes. The report observed that there was an increase of 35% in counterfeit 100 rupee notes detected. There was also a 154.3% rise in counterfeit 50 rupee notes detected. However, the report also says the overall number of counterfeit notes detected fell by 31.4% to 522,783 pieces in 2017-2018, compared to 762,072 pieces, that is 7,62,000 pieces, in the previous year. That is around 23 crore rupees of counterfeit notes in 2017-2018, 50% of which was detected 1 year earlier. The central bank attributes this reduction to the introduction of high security feature notes that it claims makes counterfeiting difficult. Economic Affairs Secretary S.C. Garg claimed demonetization had virtually weeded out fake notes in the system. He added that in the 22 months since the event, there has not been a single case of a high-quality fake note due to the introduction of high security feature notes. From all the fake Indian currency notes, or FICNs, detected, the notes detected at the RBI rose to 36.1% as compared to 4.3% in the previous year. This was due to the processing of large volume of SBNs, or specified banknotes, withdrawn from circulation. After the note ban, the RBI allowed SBNs to be deposited in banks with unusual deposits, inviting income tax scrutiny. The central bank said, and I quote, "The humongous task of processing and verification of specified banknotes was successfully achieved," unquote. Yes, the Reserve Bank of India used the word humongous in official communication. The SBNs were verified, counted, and processed in the High-Speed Currency Verification and Processing System, or CVPS, for accuracy and genuineness, after which they were shredded. The RBI report also noted that the institution spent 7,965 crore rupees in 2016-2017 on the printing of new currency notes. That's more than double the 3,421 crore rupees it spent in the previous year. In 2017-2018, that is July 2017 to June 2018, it spent another 4,912 crore rupees on the printing of currency, the annual report went on to add. There was some collateral damage as a result of the rise in printing and other costs. The dividend paid by the RBI to the government. The Reserve Bank paid 50,000 crore rupees as dividend to the government in 2017-2018, up 63% from 30,600 crores a year ago. That included an interim dividend of 10,000 crore rupees earlier in 2018. The bank set aside 14,190 crore rupees towards its contingency fund, which is used for contingencies like depreciation in the value of securities, risks arising out of monetary exchange rate policy operations, systemic risks, etc. The Economic Times noted that the 10,000 crore rupees may have helped the government rein in fiscal deficit for FY18. However, the central bank drew criticism for the transfer of surplus to the government before the end of its financial year. The government is pressing the RBI for more dividends and has reportedly questioned high allocations to the contingency fund. However, the bank's annual report shows that contingency and asset development funds are only 7% of the RBI's current balance sheet compared to 9.2% in 2014. RBI, for its part, has defended the dividend distribution policy in the annual report. It adopted a staggered surplus distribution policy in transferring profits to the government. The bank claims that it is a prudent measure since capital levels that determine the surplus have shown a cyclical trend. The bank went on to say, and I quote, "With a view towards reducing the impact of cyclicality while putting in place a rule-based methodology for determining the provisioning requirements and consequently the available transferable surplus to the Government of India, an alternative rule-based approach, the staggered surplus distribution policy, has been put in place." Unquote. An Economic Times column states that the surplus distribution policy adopted by a central bank is one of the key elements that determines its financial strength. Such policies depend on political and economic environments, as well as the levels of risk exposure under which they operate. What did the markets think of this? A report by Bank of America Merrill Lynch said, and I quote, "RBI contingency reserves is coming off. We remain concerned about the steady erosion in the RBI's contingency reserves to 7% of the balance sheet this year, from 7.6% last year and 11.9% in 2009. Furthermore, demonetization doesn't seem to have succeeded in pushing people away from cash transactions. The report shows that in 2017-2018, households added currency worth 2.8% of gross national disposable income, or GNDI. And the reason? Dissaving, or excess expenditure, of cash by as much as 2% in the previous year. Household savings in financial instruments also rose to 11.1% of GNDI. A Money Control report noted that these are provisional estimates and should be taken with a pinch of salt. For FY17, the Reserve Bank had estimated household financial savings at 11.8% of GNDI. That number has now been revised to 9.1%. The annual report also seems to indicate that despite increased cash holding and the rise in currency in circulation, demonetization had boosted digital payments. In 2017-2018, non-cash transactions rose 45% in volume and 29% in value. The volume rate of growth, while lower than in 2016-2017, is higher than the average 25% seen in the two fiscals prior to demonetization. The trend is similar for value growth as well. Finance Minister Arun Jaitley posted on his Facebook account that the larger purpose of demonetization was to move India from a tax non-compliant society to a compliant one. He wrote, and I quote, "This necessarily involved the formalization of the economy and a blow to the black money. The positive impact of the demonetization is more formalization of the economy, more money in the system, higher tax revenue, higher expenditure, higher growth after the first two quarters," unquote. Even Niti Aayog Vice Chairman Rajiv Kumar weighed in on the issue last week. He said demonetization of high-value currency helped reduce cash transaction and encouraged digital payments. Kumar went on to say, and I quote, "Demonetization has impacted the markets and market psychology. How many transactions used to take place in cash before the note ban, and what is the position now?" The RBI's annual report also addressed the issue of non-performing assets, or NPAs. The Reserve Bank said banks will witness further deterioration in their non-performing assets due to the economic situation prevailing in the current fiscal. After the PNB debacle, the value of frauds in the Indian banking system has, not surprisingly, risen to approximately 41,000 crore rupees in 2017-2018. The number of such cases has jumped to 5,835 in FY18 from an average of 4,500 over the last decade. State-owned banks accounted for 93% of the frauds. The annual report noted that by end March 2018, 12 out of every 100 rupees lent by Indian banks had turned sour. It said this number is only expected to rise by the end of the current fiscal. That said, I doubt anyone is surprised given how the NPA situation unraveled. NPAs in public sector banks increased by about 6.2 lakh crore rupees between March 2015 and March 2018. The power sector, too, is in a mess. Estimates suggest that the power sector could add as much as 1.7 lakh crore rupees, about 1.7% of bank credit, to the bad loans tally. The industry fears more loan losses as it prepares to take stressed power assets for resolution under the Insolvency and Bankruptcy Code following an Allahabad High Court judgment that declined interim relief to power companies from escaping insolvency proceedings. Around 34 coal-based thermal power plants with an exposure of about 1.77 lakh crore rupees are under stress as per a government standing committee report. State Bank of India has referred 16 assets to insolvency courts, while about another 8 accounts worth 17,000 crore rupees are in the process of a resolution. The Reserve Bank of India purchased 8.46 tons of gold in the 2017-2018 fiscal year, the first purchase of yellow metal by the Apex Bank in almost 9 years, according to the report. The bank held 566.23 tons of gold on the 30th of June 2018, compared with 557.77 tons on the 30th of June 2017. 292.3 tons of this gold are held as backing for notes and are shown as an asset of the issue department. The other 273.93 tons is treated as an asset of the banking department. The total value of gold held by the banking department rose to 69,674 crore rupees on the 30th of June 2018. The last time the central bank purchased gold was in November 2009, when it had bought 200 tons from the International Monetary Fund. Meanwhile, the rupee's value has been taking a beating. It is currently hovering around the 71 mark against a strong dollar. There was an increase in the flow of financial resources from banking to the commercial sector in 2017-2018. Banks accounted for 43% of all fund flows to the commercial sector, compared to 26.7% a year earlier. The report said credit growth follows economic growth and there is scope for credit absorption, but the bad loan problem has to be tackled and public sector banks sufficiently recapitalized. Speaking about growth, the RBI's annual report projected GDP growth of 7.4% for 2019-2020. That is consistent with the August monetary policy statement. The report said this growth will be driven by consumption, both rural and urban, investment and exports. It added that India remains a preferred destination for foreign direct investment as domestic consumption remains strong. The bank observed that manufacturing activity is gathering momentum thanks to new business, both domestic and export orders, rising capacity utilization and drawdown of inventories. Helped by the services and agriculture sectors, consumption demand was robust in the country, making India an attractive investment destination. The report said, and I quote, "Early indicators suggest that consumption demand remains robust. Aggregate domestic demand is also being supported by steadily strengthening investment, with a renewal of the capex cycle underway and a strong pickup in exports in quarter one. India remains a preferred destination for FDI," unquote. India received USD $37.3 billion, that is $37.3 billion capital inflow last fiscal, compared to $36.3 billion in the previous financial year. In 2015-2016, this investment stood at $36.06 billion. The increase in foreign capital flow was mainly due to higher flows into the communication services, retail and wholesale trade, financial services and computer services. According to the UNCTAD's Investment Trends Monitor for 2018, India was the 10th largest recipient of global FDI in 2017 and remained the topmost destination for greenfield capital investment. The central bank also said, and I quote, "There are country-specific factors that could distinguish the Indian experience going forward in the real sector. A normal monsoon for the third consecutive year should lift agricultural output," unquote. The bank also had a good word for ease of doing business. Its report noted that with the policy reforms being undertaken in sectors like single-brand retail trading, civil aviation, real estate broking service, and simplification of legal and regulatory systems, India has moved into the top 100 countries in the World Bank's Ease of Doing Business global rankings. The RBI's inflation outlook remains unchanged. In its August 1st monetary policy statement, the bank projected retail inflation of 4.6% from July to September 2018 and 4.8% for the period from October to March. It predicted retail inflation of 5% in the first quarter of the next financial year. Global trade war tensions, rising crude oil prices and the depreciating rupee are obviously going to contribute to this story when the report comes out next year. Until then, of course, we'll keep you abreast of all else that happens. Thank you for joining us.
This has been a Digging Deeper podcast, and you have been listening to Money Control.